Welcome to the Amplify Clearwater Show, powered by 13th Avenue Media. We are very excited to take you on a journey to learn more about the incredible businesses, nonprofits, and community leaders that are here in Clearwater and Clearwater Beach. If you feel so inclined, please share this with somebody who might also enjoy it, subscribe, and write a review. Thank you for joining us and enjoy the show. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Amplify Clearwater Show, powered by 13th Avenue Media. I'm the founder, Sharon Feckety of 13th Avenue Media. And along with us today, as always, the lovely Amanda Payne, president of Amplify Clearwater. Say hello to the audience, Amanda.
Hello, everyone. Thanks for tuning in.
We are very excited today to have Teresa Hibbard here, who is the Director of Community Relations and Development for the Salvation Army. And it says in a sign, if you're listening to the podcast and you're not watching, which we hope you'll turn over and watch, it says to keep calm and trust God. So that's what we're going to do throughout this interview. Welcome to the show, Teresa.
Thank you very much for having me, Sharon and Amanda.
Yeah, I'm so excited that you're here to talk about all of the things that we can do to help the Salvation Army.
Great. Well, we've got plenty of opportunities to do that.
So let's hear them, Teresa.
Okay.
We're in this traumatic time in our lives, right?
My goodness. Yes.
What is the best thing in the world that we can do to feel better? Help others.
That is absolutely true. And we've got a lot of opportunities for people to do that, to practice safe, because everybody's safety is actually our top priority. So a little bit of background about the Salvation Army that people may or may not know. The Salvation Army is actually a church, and it was founded in London about 100 years ago. And it was started because there were needs of the people in London during the Industrial Revolution that were not being met by local organizations. And so this man said, we can meet the needs of these people. And they started to identify who really needed help. And they were people that were, they were single moms. They were people who were homeless. People had nothing to eat. They were actually, the Salvation Army was actually the first organization to really identify the challenge in human trafficking and rescue young women in London who were being taken out of the city and shipped off to other places in Europe to work in labor and for human trafficking. So to fast forward how people can get involved locally, all of us probably know one or two people that have been affected by what's happening in our community, by the pandemic. And I'm kind of tired about hearing challenging times and unusual times, even though that's what it is. But Amanda can attest, we live in a very tourist, very high service community. And so we have seen people that have come to the Salvation Army for help this year that have never had to come to us before. We were in doing our drive-through food pantry in April of this year, and someone was in line who was one of the servers of one of our favorite local restaurants. And mm-hmm. they said, I've done the best I can, and I didn't know the Salvation Army was giving out boxes of food. And when I found out, I thought, okay, I'm at the end of my savings, and this is where I need some help. So for those of you listening, those are people, and there are people that are just on the edge. There are people that they were already maybe struggling in this pandemic. They've lost their jobs. You know, you just think of all of the people who are helping in hotels, with the hotels being closed down, all the housekeeping, people who are having their homes, you know, cleaned, all of those people that a lot of service industries where everyone was just, you know, shut down. So those are the kind of people that we're helping. And those are the kind of people the community is helping.
Yeah. Well, I think that, you know, when Amanda and I first talked about doing this show, it was right at the forefront of her mind that we really need to help others during this challenging time. But I have to say something different every day. I've done 100 shows off of Amplify Clearwater, and it's, you know, we have to acknowledge what we're going through, but we also do, you're absolutely right. We have a very strong service community. And I think that along with Amanda wanting to help others, because it does really, that is at the core, I believe, of what helps a community grow is just helping and serving. I did not know that story about the Salvation Army, yet another reason why I love doing these shows, because you get to hear the story behind the mission. And knowing that about human trafficking, which is such a huge epidemic here in just Clearwater, right?
Yes, it is.
So what actionable items can people do right now, Teresa, sure, to help serve?
Sure. There are really three specific areas where people can get involved this year. And the first one is to, we have an Adopt the Angel program and we have a Silver Bells program. And the Adopt the Angel are where families have registered, and we have close to 2,000 children that have specific needs. So families have come to the Salvation Army and they've told us their child's name, if they're a boy or a girl, how old they are, and then their wishes for Christmas. And these are placed on tags, and there are physical tags located in participating Walmarts, and there will be one at the Countryside Mall on Friday. And there's also a physical tree at the Salvation Army Corps on North Belcher, or people can go online and adopt an angel virtually. So then they go online to the salvationarmyclearwater.org, they adopt an angel and they select, would you like a boy, would you like a girl, how old would you like it? And then you can print out the tag, you go and purchase the gifts, you can even purchase gifts online. And once those, you bought all the gifts, then you can take them to the Salvation Army at 1521 East Druid Road. And then all of those gifts are going to be distributed to the families at the end of December. So the families will come in. They don't bring their children, so it's a big surprise. They pick up the, and this is a fun, fun time. So that's another way if people want to volunteer to give out presents at Christmas time. It's a blast. Mm. And then we sort these gifts. And so the families will come and get the gifts. Almost every child gets a bicycle, whether they ask for one or not. Last year, we had over 300 bicycles that we gave away as part of this. So this is going to be a drive-through again, rather than coming physically in to keep people safe. So that's one way people can adopt an angel. Silver Bells is the same thing for seniors, people who are 55 and older, who are in need. The first gets me a little choked up when I talk about it. The first Christmas I was here at the Salvation Army, almost 2 years ago, I came into our lobby and there was a brand new wheelchair waiting for someone. And I just saw the tag and they were an elderly person and they said, these are my needs and this is my wish. And his wish was a brand new wheelchair so that he could get around. So that's the kind of generous spirit that our community, and I think we know that, but I think sometimes we, you know, we don't celebrate that enough, that when people are invited to do something good, they can say yes and they feel good about it. So the Silver Bells and the Angels, adopt an angel, adopt a Silver Bell, and you can find everything online. Again, Clearwater, SalvationArmyClearwater.org. And then the other thing that people can do is they can participate in our Red Kettle campaign. And the iconic Red Kettles, I should have brought a bell with me so that I could ring the bell and everybody could hear that. But I know everybody knows what that sounds like. We were very close to not being able to have the Red Kettles outside of our Publix, Walmarts, and many of our partners, again, due to the pandemic, just because of there were just a lot. So we didn't even know if we were going to have Red Kettles out at Christmas time. And so we early on started moving to an online virtual kettle platform. And so people can also ring the bell safely virtually by setting up a team and accepting the Red Kettle Challenge. And they can do that. That's the same thing, salvationarmyclearwater.org, and that accept the Red Kettle Challenge. So you can go on, you can set up your virtual kettle, and then you can share it with your friends. And that's one way to do everything without leaving your home or worrying about coming in contact with people. And you can ask for people to donate at Christmas. You know, people say to you, what do you want for Christmas? What do you want for Christmas? Well, you know what I want? I would like you to make a contribution to the Red Kettle campaign at Christmas time. And we announced yesterday that every gift given to the Red Kettle online campaign or at our kettles, which will be starting this week and on through the month of December, is going to be matched by the Ruth and J.O. Stone Foundation up to $250,000.
Wow.
So every single quarter, penny, dollar dropped in that kettle is going to be matched all the way to $250,000, which means $500,000 to help families year round. And that's just not at Christmas time. And so we also, if you want to ring the bell, we think it's a really fun opportunity for families and neighborhoods. Pick a day, pick a location. You need 8 families or 8 businesses. We're going to provide a t-shirt rather than an apron, gloves, mask. You ring a bell for 2 hours, and then you'll that will also be matched. And so the locations right now, Hobby Lobby is the only location that has a physical kettle besides Achieva Credit Union branches in North Pinellas County. And then beginning on November the 21st, you'll see kettles at Walmart, and you'll see kettles at Publix beginning on November the 28th. So if you'd like to physically register to ring the bell, you can do that at www.registertoring, and that's toring.com. And you just go online, you enter your information. If you would like your neighborhood, say, to take a day, or if the Clearwater Chamber would like to say, okay, let's get our businesses to fill a day and ring a bell for a couple hours, you just need, you know, 8 businesses or 8 of your neighbors. Or this is a great thing for families to do. I have a lot of my friends that have little kids and grandkids, and they say, Teresa, how can we get our kids involved? And it's a beautiful opportunity to show them how to give back during the Christmas season. And it's fun. You can dance, you can, you know, play some music, you can sing some songs.
So, yeah, I mean, so let's talk about the elephant in the room of what happens every year, maybe except this year. When somebody starts ringing that bell, bell, right? Because it's like, oh, it's not even Christmas yet. I really want to educate the community on knowing about what this actually does, what this money actually does for people. So you can change your mindset, right? Because sometimes when you understand what goes on behind, so many businesses that I've learned about, so many nonprofits that I've learned about through the years. I remember learning about Mary Kay. And I told the person, Penny, she's from our community, Penny Jackson. She told the story about Mary Kay. And I was like, oh, I had no idea like what they have done for women. I really think that sometimes people need to understand what actually happens and what that money does for people. So maybe they'll give a little more and they'll have a little more understanding of why this mission is so important.
Sure. Thank you. And it's really true too. People think that the Salvation Army just kind of mushrooms out of the ground at Christmas time and then goes to sleep back in January, which is not true. We do secure the majority of our funding during this time, but a couple things that happen for contributions. So one of the things that we do with the funds is we provide food for people. And this year we have given away already $500,000 in food through our drive-through food distribution site. And that, again, is because of the tremendous need for people. We partnered with Ruth Eckert Hall. And so you didn't have to give a zip code. You didn't have to provide documentation. If you were in line, you were going to get a box of fresh produce and food. Mm-hmm. So already $500,000. And we have already served more people. We served more people between April and October of this year than we did of all of last year. Wow. And so that is one area is we have bi-monthly food distribution programs where we have drive-through. And then during the summer, we were doing it on a weekly basis. So that's one area. So $25 can go to buy a box of food that feeds a family of 4 for a week. Mm-hmm. So that's one example. Another example is utility assistance. Many of the utility companies withheld the shutdowns during the pandemic, but those are all starting to come back and people are coming to us because they need help paying those bills. And so we provide utility assistance for people who are in need. We're also providing, so $1,000 can help someone, or $500 can really help someone take care of their bills. And you think about things that happen to us that is just part of life. Oh, you know, we sprung a leak. You know, the air conditioning stopped working. So all of these little things, you're really struggling to make ends meet. These are the things that we are really able to help with. We are also providing rental assistance. So people who are just on the verge, like a young woman named Paula who came to us, who lost her job during COVID. She was already struggling because of the high rent and was on the verge of being evicted from her home, came to us for rental assistance. So we were able to give her rental assistance to help her through. Mm. The other thing that we have that is extremely unusual is we have made a commitment to helping families escape the cycle of intergenerational poverty. And children who are in poverty, they have proven that they grow up in poverty and that's all they know. So when a family comes, when we identify a family, and this is through our rental or utility, who are willing to say, I would like to make some life changes in order to escape the cycle of intergenerational poverty. We walk with them hand in hand with very intense case management to help them. These are budgeting classes. This is going back to college to get a better education. This is helping find a new job. And we've got single moms and their children that are living at our Hope Crest facility just off of Druid Road who have made this commitment. And I don't know about you, Sharon and Amanda, but what was the last or the most recent life-changing difficult decision you had to make? I mean, you don't have to tell me, but...
No, I mean, I'll just tell you this. I was thinking about this as you were talking, that my husband gets this new car, okay? So this is really very transparent, okay? He gets this new car. He has had a flat tire, the check engine light, and he got a parking ticket within the last 3 days. So, and this morning, you know, when he said it to me, I said, you know, in comparison to everything else that's going on in the world, like how blessed are we to have these three problems that can be fixed so quickly? So to not focus on actually these, because there's nothing life-changing about that. There's actually nothing life-changing about that. I like to call those things luxury problems. So, right? What can we do for the people that really, like, when you said that story about that person that was online that used to be a server that you knew, you know, that really takes it to another level of really how we've all been so affected, and bringing up the wheelchair. I mean, we interviewed Sue Legree from Sea Dog in our last conversation, and she was talking about raising money for the elderly. Like we really have so much that we can offer right now, and I'm pushing for it for the holidays. This is a great time for everybody to feel better about themselves by giving back. Teresa, can you tell me, I do understand you might be married to somebody that has some say in Clearwater, maybe just like the mayor or something. But can you tell me why you decided personally to become, you know, I like to hear the passion and the purpose behind everybody's mission and what they do for sure. A living. Can you share that with us?
Behind getting involved in fundraising and being in nonprofit?
Absolutely.
I wasn't always a nonprofit. I worked for Barnett Bank. I don't know if any of you remember Barnett Bank from Florida years and years ago. I was in banking and I was in a sales position with banking, and the bank sold. I was also volunteering. And when the bank sold, the culture of the organization changed and it just wasn't fun anymore. And so I spent a year with interviewing different nonprofit organizations and said, here's my skill set. I think maybe I could take some of this stuff and go and work for a nonprofit. And what would I do? And the executive directors that I spoke with throughout Pinellas County, as you can expect, were absolutely wonderful. And so they said, oh, maybe you should be in planned giving. I'm like, planned giving? That sounds really scary. They said, you should definitely be in fundraising. And I said, okay, that's it. So I started interviewing a nonprofit and they were like, you don't have any nonprofit experience. So it's kind of hard. And I'm like, but I've been selling. I've been in sales my whole career and I've been really successful at it. So rather than sell a widget, I'm selling a service and the needs of people. And so anyway, I started with the United Way hired me. Frank's wonderfully support let me take a tremendous cut in salary to go and pursue this opportunity. I was at St. Paul's School, an independent private day school in their events. And then I went to work for the Lighthouse of Pinellas that served people that were blind or visually impaired. Mm-hmm. And then on to the Y, where I was their chief philanthropy officer for 12 years and had the privilege of opening their branch in Citrus County debt-free at an $8 million fundraising campaign. And then I got to come to the Salvation Army, which is, keep calm and trust God.
Keep calm and trust God. That could have been a better sign for today, yeah.
So that's my journey and it's been wonderful. And I just get a real, you mentioned something, Sharon, you said you really enjoy giving back. You talk to people who feel good when they give back. People do feel good. And so I have the privilege of seeing the joy on people's faces when they do something that makes them feel good. Mm-hmm. And that's just like the best thing. I shared yesterday at our kettle kickoff that every year when I ring the bell, I know that little annoying bell, someone every single hour that I am on that kettle ringing a bell will put a little bit of money in, and they'll lean over and they'll say, I'm sorry, I wish I could do more, but the Salvation Army helped me at one time. They helped my family. They helped my mom. They helped my dad. They helped us. They helped a brother who was addicted to drugs and alcohol change their lives. And this is what I want to do to give back. It's all I can do, but it is something. And so even that just is going to, that makes a difference. And so that helps people year round.
I love it. Amanda, how great is it to have Teresa and the Salvation Army as a part of Amplify Clearwater?
Well, I have to say that I absolutely adore Teresa. And, you know, she has undersold herself in this interview. And so I want to highlight some of the things that I know Teresa's passionate about that she's not really focused on. But I'm so incredibly inspired by her because she takes on initiatives and conversations that most of our community doesn't want to talk about, that people shy away from. She talked about human trafficking and how Salvation Army was involved in that conversation from the very beginning. And we get emotional as I talk about it, but I'm so impressed by her because she continues to push the envelope and encourages our community to have those conversations and be aware of the challenges not only our community faces, but how it affects everyone worldwide. And it's not a recent passion of hers, but she's recently established a committee along with another member of ours. And I've just been so incredibly impressed, and I know Amplify wants to work closely with them to bring light and understanding to their project and their passions. So she's a first lady of our community, and we're lucky to have her. We're lucky to have her husband fighting for our businesses and for our job creators every day. I have to say that I've been incredibly impressed by Mayor Hibbard's leadership throughout this pandemic. It has been very challenging, to say the least. But, you know, without a doubt, that they've risen to the occasion as a couple, and it's been incredibly encouraging to watch. So we are so appreciative, Teresa. She thinks out of the box. Certainly became one of those organizations that everybody turned to. And like Amplify, we tried to scale pretty quickly. And how is it that we can be a resource for our members, for our businesses? How can we be there to provide information that they needed financial assistance? Teresa did that for our community. From the food drives she mentioned, very quickly they turned around and were organized and had resources to our community at the time when they didn't have anywhere else to turn. And it was just incredible to watch them adjust so fast. And that's the beauty of being in a not-for-profit, right, Teresa? We have the ability to just turn the ship, right? And we can be nimble, and we can address, and we can help, and we can identify those needs and really be effective in coming up with a solution and helping our community and our businesses. So we're incredibly blessed to be a partner with Salvation Army, and certainly to have Teresa and her energy and her leadership behind them.
Well, I'm incredibly proud to be surrounded by women that have all of this purpose and passion behind what they're doing. Teresa, really has been such a wonderful time spending with you, learning more about Salvation Army, learning more about you, learning more about what we could all do as a collective to amplify and help each other and to help the people that really need the help the most. So thank you, Teresa, for being with us today.
Thank you for having me. It was a real pleasure to share this, and I appreciate you giving us the opportunity to talk about the story. So there's still plenty of chances to ring that bell, Sharon.
You know what? Listen, I'm already thinking about the bell and where I'm going to be ringing it. So don't
worry. Oh, I was excited. So you'll know where I was yesterday, because I was excited to see the red kettle. I mean, I was stopped and talked to him. I was so excited. I had to get some crafts for one of my son's school projects, and I was so excited to see the red kettle that I stopped and had a conversation with him outside of Hobby Lobby. So I was excited to see him. Yes.
Well, I can't wait to share it with everybody how they can be a part of it. What a great way to give back, and whatever you can give, I'm quite sure would be appreciated. So let's spend this wonderful virtual holiday season by giving back to others. Thank you, Teresa.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for tuning in. We hope you enjoyed the show, and we'd love for you to share it with somebody else who might be interested in learning more about Clearwater and Clearwater Beach. To learn more about sponsorship,
please reach out to Jennifer Burrow. Her email address is Jenny, J-E-N-I, at amplifyclearwater.com. Thank you.